Welcome to the Midweek Leisureman Podcast. Paul Pabst, Andrew Perloff. We're the Leisureman here at NBC Sports. Perloff, I got a list of 18 things to get to today. I don't know if we're going to get to all of them. The big tease is I have in front of me a bowl of commissary from NBC Turkey Chili. Now, the food at NBC, not just blowing smoke, is very good.
Very good.
Very good. And I've never eaten turkey chili before in my life because I've always been a physically, like morally opposed to it because I don't consider turkey meat as far as like a meat chili.
That's your own issues, but.
Now, I've been around you a long time and I trust you with taste, with food. You eat better than I do. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to eat a little better. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking at the options downstairs. I'm like, why take the least healthy option? I'm going to go somewhere in between and get turkey chili. I'm going to live on air taste test turkey chili.
Paul, I got bad news for you.
I'm going to be upset?
No, you've had turkey chili before. You've eaten chili that has turkey in it, and you've not known it.
I don't believe that's so.
Yes, you absolutely have. You're telling me that you can always distinguish whether it's beef or turkey in your chili? There's no way. You've eaten so much chili in your life. There's no way some fowl did not sneak into that chili.
Josh Norris is here, NBC Sports, NFL guru. I like that word, guru. He's just sit on down, Josh. We don't have any fun.
I don't like guru.
You know what title would you like?
I'm just a guy who watches football and shares his opinion.
That's a long title. Josh Norris, a guy.
My business card is extra extended.
Put on your cans, come up, hang out with the Leisureman. Let's give you the full intro. Josh Norris, NBC Sports. One of my favorite guys to follow on Twitter because you cut through a lot of BS with your discussions.
There's a lot of BS out there to cut through.
Before we get to anything, are you a fan of turkey chili or do you eat chili mostly with ground beef or steak or something?
I'll tell you what. The only time I eat chili is when it's an unexpected snowstorm, because on my block, the only place that's open is a bar that, you know, the family that runs it lives above.
Right.
So if you typically, when a snowstorm is coming, a blizzard, I go to the grocery store the night before, do all that kind of jazz, especially being a North Carolinian. But in the event, I'm not prepared. It's chili. It's buffalo wings. I'm more of a Brunswick stew person than chili.
Okay, I didn't know you're from North Carolina. Yeah. I know there's some differences in North Carolina barbecue. I was at a Carolina football game a couple years ago, and they said, asked me, what kind of barbecue do I want when I walked into the place? I was like, I was confused. And there's Lexington barbecue, and there's Eastern North Carolina. Can you break down any of it?
So Eastern is more likely, well, there's also mustard base as well, which is South Carolina and North Carolina combined. Just depends on where you get it. Lexington barbecue is vinegar based.
Right.
And that's what I prefer. I mean, but I put vinegar, lemon, any acidity on anything.
So the meat doesn't have any sauce on it. It's kind of a light vinegar, kind of a, it has some bite to it, dressing.
And it's not one of those, is viscous the correct word?
Yeah.
It's not one of those that, you know, coats the meat.
It soaks in.
Exactly. And so you just put a little spritz on the end and there you go on your sandwich as well. And it kind of soaks into the bun.
I've never had Brunswick stew, never even heard of it to this moment. Whoa. I just Googled it. It looks like the most amazing invention of all time.
Can you describe the ingredients?
Well, Josh, what's your idea of what Brunswick stew is?
So most likely it'll have pork in it.
Yeah, there's pork.
We're off to a great start.
It has corn. It's a tomato-based stew as well. It has really whatever vegetables are left over in your refrigerator. Okra most likely is in there as well.
Is it more manly, hearty vegetable soup?
Exactly, with like shredded pork in there as
well. Yeah, so it's very close to chili, and it says barbecue sauce is a common ingredient.
All right, one more food question. If you were going to any town outside North Carolina to do NFL stories, from an eating standpoint, which town would be your best town to eat in?
Because I eat so much barbecue, I would not say it's barbecue. I don't eat as much up here because I haven't found a place that I prefer.
We have one for you, but go ahead.
Do you? Okay. Yeah. What, you don't want to give them some free airtime?
Hoodoo Brown Barbecue, Ridgefield, Connecticut.
Okay.
Let's
meet up.
It's
a little bit of a drive for me. I live in Norwalk.
It's worth the drive, and I rarely say that.
Got it.
So where do you, what's your football town?
I think I would go somewhere on the West Coast. I think I would go somewhere that's totally different. I will say, and I knew you guys were in Minnesota as well for the Super Bowl. I did the whole Juicy Lucy tour.
Yeah.
And that was fantastic.
Juicy Lucy, two burgers pushed together, a big chunk of frozen cheese in the middle.
Super healthy.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it truly is one of those that where they prepare you for it, that they say, okay, take a small bite and then push it out and all the cheese will ooze everywhere. You don't listen. So you just take a huge bite and burns your mouth.
But Josh, you're a college football guy. You know, the West Coast, California, Oregon's Portland's a foodie town. But I thought you were going to go like Auburn barbecue.
Memphis.
I have too much barbecue. Like I prefer the North Carolina barbecue when I can have it. And so brisket's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm not too into that. And these sauces that, you know, are so sweet and molassesy, not my thing either. At all. So I need vinegar base and I can get that North
Carolina.
Do you have
a barbecue ranking and it's a lot like your player ranking? Have you ever go state by state?
Is there a Tom Brady barbecue in your life? Like a place that you went where you're like, oh my God, you got dizzy?
You know what? To me, like, average barbecue is fine. It depends on the portion size.
Got it.
Yeah.
I want portions. And what I do is I mix the pulled pork. Exactly. I mix the pulled pork with the collard greens and mix it all together and put the – you know what? I will tell you, I go to Mobile, Alabama every year for the Senior Bowl. They have a great place called Saucy Q where you get a whole bunch of meat and greens and everything you want for like $8. And then all the NFL scouts are there waiting in line at the same time in GMs and everyone. So it's a little communal ground because it's about 3 minutes away from Ladd People Stadium where the practices are.
I actually have a theory about barbecue. Barbecue, when it's done well, is the best food, and when it's done poorly, is the worst food. Because I often get barbecue in different towns, and my expectations are really high. Anyone who does barbecue for a living, I think you owe it to us to make it like a B+ or better. I had barbecue this past week in San Antonio. I went to a place called, what was that, Smoke Shack. They brought some to the set. It was thrilling barbecue. Yeah. I mean, I was just going nuts. I wasn't even hungry. I kept eating.
Was it brisket?
It was brisket, and they had some sausage ribs. And some pork ribs.
Sausage is underrated as a barbecue. Yeah.
Jalapeno sausage.
It's so good.
But I'm not going to give out names. Then I had barbecue later in the day that was a C-.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm wasting room in my stomach here.
The team I want to have, well, the place I want to have a college football team to go is Charleston. Right?
Oh, man. No. Did you put on too much weight? I spent 3 days there. Put on pieces of their grits on everything. It's like,
oh, it's amazing.
Oh, I'd like a bagel with cream cheese. And they give you a bagel with cream cheese under a plate of delicious grits. There's grits everywhere. They're coming out of the woodwork.
And everyone down there, Charleston, is good looking, well dressed, and thin.
Exactly.
What's going on there?
It's because they walk around, I guess, on the beach to walk it all off. But if I could choose a place with college football, it would be Charleston.
I got a bet. Can I pull you into a draft bet?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
I thought we were just talking.
Are we wagering barbecue?
No, there's a barbecue connection.
Oh, great.
Five quarterbacks over under, how many go in the first round? And now, if you pick right, then we buy you barbecue at Hoodoo Browns.
Okay.
And if you pick wrong, you have to either
make
get us,
you all barbecue.
You have to make us barbecue or Brunswick stew. You got to bring Brunswick stew into the office.
Let me, before you, you're saying in the first 32 picks?
Yes.
I think you're giving him a little too much room because I think you're going to go five in 32
picks.
Let's make it four.
You're right.
We should probably do 4.5 so there's an under and an over.
Okay.
Right? You know what? I'm going to pick the under there. I'm going to go with four. Do you also think four?
Four is where it should be set. I should have said four.
No, 4.5 is a good guess because you have to pick someone to drop in the second round.
So
I think Lamar Jackson goes in the second round, at the end of the first round.
No Mason Rudolph, Lamar Jackson sneaking in the first round.
I don't think so. Well, I mean, Lamar has a great chance of going in the first round, especially those teams that have been linked to quarterbacks for years now, the New Orleans Saints and the L.A. Chargers. I mean, even the Patriots now at the end of round one with two picks. But I think just where this process is going, where we have no idea where he stands right now, I think he most likely goes in round two right now.
Any chance Lamar Jackson suffers from, and this is a little apples and oranges, the same, I guess, look that Deshaun Watson got last year. He was around too long, and we got used to him. And that's why I think the reason Deshaun Watson fell a little bit in the draft last year, wasn't a top five pick, is because we were too used to him, and we'd seen all his cards.
Is Dak Prescott coming out of school. Because we had seen Dak start for about 2.5 years, and I even talked with the director of college scouting about this when I was at the East-West Shrine game the year after that. And he says, you know, a lot of these SEC players, we see their highs and their lows, and it's not just these one-year wonders who show up and then kind of consume the whole talk.
I've always thought that the less we see of you, the hotter you are in the NFL draft. Going back to Akili Smith, going back to...
look at Cardale Jones.
Cardale Jones.
When he only started, what, six games? And then everyone thought that he should declare, came back, and then was a late round
pick. We have very little to criticize. We're not sick of you yet. And I don't know if that works away with the draft.
Well, Josh Allen probably... Yes. I know he's still going to go high, but if he'd gone out last year, he would have been in really good shape too.
Yeah. You know who I think is the closest to Deshaun in this class in terms of their fit and their projection is actually Baker Mayfield. And I say this because of where they're coming out of. Deshaun, when he was at Clemson, his supporting cast was outstanding. probably the best offensive line in college football that year. I'm sure you remember the game against Alabama.
Sure.
And how great that front seven was, and they were able to prevent them from generating a lot of disruption. Plus, great receivers, especially one in a Mike Williams in the running game as well. We know Baker Mayfield has an outstanding, probably the best offensive line in college football, plus speedy wide receivers and a great running game as well. So I would say the projection that's difficult there is just how good of a system they're coming out of with all the talent they're playing with, and if they will be able to go to a similar team. Deshaun's team wasn't good this year at Houston. Like, they had their moments with him, and even that first game he played was horrific. But he really had to lift them. Now, we have a small sample size, but he was able to do that.
We have a thing on the Leisureman Show. You've heard of it. It's called the bust metric. And we take each quarterback and we give him points for how many things that could make him a bust someday. On field, off field, intangibles. And one of the things when we talked about Josh Rosen at UCLA, we did the bust metric the other day. We loved him on the field.
Yeah.
We didn't really mind him off the field. We didn't really mind the attitude. I like hockey. I had trouble, and I don't think it's getting covered enough, the concussion situation with him. And why isn't it getting coverage?
It's a great question. And it's not like it's going to get any better, because when you look at the successful young quarterbacks in the NFL, almost all of them, maybe minus Jared Goff, they're all mobile. They're all athletic. Even the other quarterbacks in this class are mobile and athletic. Josh Rosen's not at all. Like, he's confined to the structure. He's confined to the pocket. So you have the shoulder surgery on his throwing shoulder.
Yes.
You also have the two concussions in the same year.
Two that we know of.
Who knows if it's even more?
I saw an interview with him last week. Again, I'm not going to give out names. And the interviewer did 12 minutes with him and didn't ask him one question about concussions. And I thought to myself, I wonder if the agent said no concussion questions. Because there's no way you or me or Andrew or Dan Patrick would have gotten a 12-minute interview with Josh Rosen and not asked about concussions.
Yeah, and I think the personality, the character has kind of put a veil on all that.
The
right?
Jim Mora stuff, the rich kid stuff.
And what I'm going to say about that is, and I don't know him at all. I've never met him, never talked to him. But just watching his combine interviews with media, going back and watching his interviews at UCLA, he's aware. At 21 years old, like, that level of awareness is difficult to find. And sure, he has outside interests. Yeah. And we saw the Eagles team have a lot of those this year.
Right.
Some are going to like that. And as you know, covering the draft for so long, they want these quarterbacks to be robots. I'm not saying Russell Wilson's not a good dude, but when he gets up there, it's the same structured questions over and over and over. Meanwhile, you have Cam Newton's press conferences where he says one thing, and some of them are certainly regrettable, but he certainly doesn't stick to a script, and he kind of does his own thing, and that shows up as well.
Have you guys, by the way, on the background, the NFL Network, they're showing the Aaron Rodgers, Josh Rosen workout.
It's great.
Those two, they remind me of each other.
We've been talking about this for months.
And Aaron Rodgers is an intellectual loner quarterback. Like, he thinks
he's a bit of a know-it-all. I have to ask why to this question. If you say something to Aaron Rodgers, he may be like, why would you think that?
Yeah.
And he doesn't just give you the pat answer.
So I was curious about this. Should I say this? I'll say it. At the Senior Bowl, I go and talk to all these agents as well as scouts and evaluators, whatever. And there's one group, there's one agency that has run the market of quarterbacks in recent years.
Right.
They don't have a single one this year that's among the top five. There's something to that, right? Because if they wanted one, they most likely could get one. And so I kind of went down the list and asked why, yada, yada. And this was in conversations with other evaluators as well. And what always stands out with Josh Rosen is he always asks why. He wants to know why.
Right.
I don't think that's an issue at all, but I'm not a coach.
But have you ever worked for a corporation? And we all have.
I've only worked for NBC.
Right. When you get a little older in this and you have to go to staff meetings and stuff like this, sometimes when the boss says something to the group and everyone goes, all right, sure, boss, let's do it. And you're like, why are we doing that? But nobody wants to say it to the boss. Mm-hmm. Rosen's the guy who'd be like, wait a second, why are we doing that?
Right.
And he could be out at a corporation. Like,
do you know what's funny? Like, and this is a whole different tangent.
Right.
But as super little kids, we ask why all the time.
Yeah.
Why?
And then we get blowback for it.
Exactly. And so the social norm is to stop asking why and just start doing things.
Well, because your parents start saying, because I said so.
Exactly.
And then your teacher says, because that's how we do it here. And then you get muted down. Look at that. We're going psychologically.
By the way, one thing you said about Josh Rosen not being mobile. Look at the quarterbacks that have lasted. You know, right. Eli Manning and Tom Brady can't move a lick. Where Deshaun Watson, he ran really well. He's hurt. So I don't know. Do we really know that Josh Rosen is going to be injury plagued? Look at the way the NFL works out.
No, we don't. We don't at all. But I also think that the mobile quarterback connection to then that they get injured as runners is, I don't think that necessarily is a standard line as well. Because to me, the hardest hits the quarterback takes are in the pocket when they can't escape from pressure.
Right.
Well, I don't. You know what? I'm gonna.
And I know. Carson Wentz just got hurt when he ran and tried to dive in the end zone.
He could have bailed on that run, but that was
correct.
A tough one because you're looking at the goal line.
No, correct. But he's done that. He did that 50 times before, and then got hurt. He was exposing himself left and right.
He was, and that's his style.
Yeah,
that is Andrew absolutely Luck. His style, and it always comes back. And that came back for Carson Wentz in college too, where he kind of gets these cement feet, and he has this wide base, and then he finally moves at the last instant. But just when you, to me, again. We've seen him get injured because he is confined to the pocket. And I'm not ranking him or basing his evaluation on injuries at all. And on the field, I think he's the cleanest evaluation, what you see is with
him. Two more Leishman draft theories I want to run by you and get you to co-sign. Lamar Jackson did not run a 40 at his pro day because he didn't want us going crazy over his 40-yard time, which we would then talk more about him as a runner, playing other positions, etc. He wanted to be all about passing, good, bad, or ugly.
Did you read Jonathan Jones's piece on SI?
Yes.
No.
His mom is controlling his process.
Yeah.
And controlling has a negative connotation to it, and I'm not trying to use
shepherding.
It in that. Exactly. She's leading him in the right way. In fact, after he went through his pro day workout, all of the receivers and running backs and tight ends that worked out with him went over to the mother afterwards and asked if they did an okay job and supported her son well enough.
Wouldn't you like to interview her?
And she has called Bobby Petrino like in his freshman year because she only wanted Lamar to go to a college. And this is a great profile for Jonathan Jones, and I apologize that I'm ruining it right now. But she only wanted him to go to a college where he could play quarterback. And in one of his first games there, or it was a scrimmage or something, even practice, he lined up as a punt returner. And then like as soon as he got back in his office or something, he got a phone call from her saying, nope, we didn't sign up for that. He's only playing quarterback. And he never did anything
else. Maybe mom's
ever
got
again.
Some stones.
And,
oh, yeah.
Oh, she does.
But is this good? Is this good for him?
You know, I'm probably not around this long enough to say yes or no. I will say it's different, especially with all of these quarterbacks work with a quarterback guru,
yep.
Jordan Palmer. Right. Even Jimmy Clausen now is getting work as a quarterback guru. No offense, Jimmy.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Josh kind of looks like Jimmy Clausen. I just
on. I don't have a black guy.
No,
here.
You got. I would say more like you could be a like Major Applewhite from. Former.
I've gotten some John Gruden. My dad looks a lot like John Gruden.
A mix of Gruden and Major Applewhite, the old Texas quarterback.
Okay,
I'll tell you right now, and I don't care if this country teams don't like parents. I mean, the most obvious example is RG3. RG3's parents caused havoc on the Redskins. Donovan McNabb and the Eagles, you know how teams are.
McNabb's mom got the soup deal, though.
I know. Like, they just don't, teams do not want to interact with parents because they think they're too emotional.
I do think the stuff of teams not being able to get in touch with Lamar Jackson or set up workouts and visits is absolutely true. That's not coming from other agents that are trying to put the bad words out there on another player. It's absolutely true. And now agents, I know it's 3% is what's written, but it's most likely 1% or 2%. That they get of the contract for quarterbacks.
Wow.
That's absolutely nothing.
What if Lamar
in the
Jackson?
Grand scheme of things. And it's not just, signing the contract, it's sponsorships. I mean, I follow all these guys on Instagram because they post where they visit. And all of these players have Adidas contracts, Nike, and are just getting shoes on shoes and shoes. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Lamar Jackson has a sponsorship right now.
I know,
and I think
it's a
that's
fact
part
he
of it as well.
I know.
See?
That
by choice or by
no,
I think
bad
it's the
planning.
Mother.
There is a company that wanted him and they didn't bite. For whatever reason. Maybe, probably, could be smart.
But now Andrew Luck did that going in his rookie year. He passed on all the promotional deals and gave them all to RG3. Yeah. Yeah. And nobody criticized Andrew Luck. People actually said, look at Andrew Luck focused on
Andrew
football.
Luck also tested like an extreme athlete and kind of finished the process.
Right.
Like, to me, your strengths get stronger.
Right.
Okay? Your weaknesses rarely turn into strengths. So if you're Lamar, why not show off one of your strengths? Even if, you go out there, run a 4.4 and whatever, and people say, yeah, you're athletic. He's athletic.
Yeah, but and you just said that you said maybe second round, but it doesn't seem like he's fallen that far. I see his name next to a lot of teams.
Yeah.
What are you hearing about who might grab him?
Again, it's one of those where I have no idea.
Yeah.
It's one of those where the Saints have shown interest in quarterbacks in recent years. The Chargers have shown interest. The team to watch is the Cardinals at 15. Mm. Because you can't go – I mean, they're going to go in their season with Sam Bradford and Mike Lynn at quarterback. But in the grand scheme of things – you can't really rely on Sam Bradford to play more than 6 games, right? I mean, even maybe that might be generous, And so that is one of the worst quarterback situations in the NFL right now.
I have a theory that the LA Chargers may draft a quarterback as an interesting quarterback because they need some buzz around that franchise because they are drowning in the LA Rams waterfall of
You're saying the soccer stadium's not cutting it for them?
Well, they can't fill that.
I know.
And if they can't fill that and then they get a new one, they feel like they're still in San Diego today.
What's crazy is they have one of the more talented rosters in the AFC. They really do. Especially on defense. I mean, Joey Bosa is one of the best defensive players in the league right now. I think they have some young people to build around in the secondary as well. But I believe their coach talked about Lamar Jackson, how much of a playmaker he was. And when you go and look at, I mean, he brought in Cardale Jones as a possible option. I believe it was last year as well. Big arm, mobile. He and Lamar are different players, but it wouldn't shock me to see them go in a completely different direction than Phillip Rivers and playing for the future.
Yeah,
with Lamar
that Lamar. That would be an instant buzz right there for LA. That's great.
Exciting guy to wait just a year for.
How much do you think that impacts?
Well, I think it depends on the owner, but the owners think of business before football, I would think, and they have to sell tickets. They have to keep up with the Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, Aaron Donald, blah, blah, blah. There's more stars every day.
Jared Goff was that reason. I mean, don't you think possible that the LA Rams connection and Goff just seemed too perfect?
And
new franchise?
New franchise, blonde, blue-eyed boy from California.
Yeah. That was an interesting draft. You know, people bring that one up that – because that was one of the few that a team traded up to number one and then team traded up to two. What's crazy about that is, and this is going in a different direction, but that trade only happened, I believe, 2 weeks before the draft. Like, we're not even there yet in the schedule.
Wow.
And we've already seen the Jets move up to number three and have no clue. So the Rams move up to one knowing they were going to get Jared Goff. Jared Goff and Carson Wentz have the same agent. They have the same representation. So everyone in the league knew that Goff was going to go one, and then that Carson Wentz, when the Eagles moved up, were going to go number two. Now we have a completely different scenario with the Jets, where at number three, they have no idea who's going to be on the board for them.
So you think that they trade up to three without having a guy? That's what Manish Mehta, our buddy, said the other day.
Truly.
So why'd they trade up to three and not two or one?
Pressure. Needing a quarterback.
Right.
Look, maybe this year because there are five and they're all different flavors, but even to me, this points in a different direction. Like it's like buying a house, okay? You don't go and look at five different houses and say, I could live in all five of these. I could see raising a family in all five of these. Mm-hmm. You most likely find one that you love. Mm. Maybe you can settle for two or three, but there aren't five that you love. So they're at number three. To me, every team has one quarterback that they single in on. It doesn't matter what year it is. And they see their offense built around him. They see their franchise built around them. So the third pick, they might have their third quarterback on the board, but I guess that they are okay with that. They're settling for that.
Two more quick Leisureman theories. I believe, I don't know if Andrew's with this, I think you are, we are against the Browns taking a running back, Saquon Barkley, in the first four picks. I think they should go whatever quarterback they think is the best, and the next best player, I would actually, if you don't need to draft him that high, but I would go with the offensive lineman Nelson out of Notre Dame. But would you, if the Browns do take a running back with their second or their four picks, is it a mistake?
Yes, it is. And I don't think that they do it. I think with John Dorsey's background, he has had success finding non-first-round running backs.
Sure.
Kareem Hunt, he drafted last year, then he got fired. But he even had
Still have Isaiah Crowell on the team?
No, he's on the Jets now.
Okay.
But they did sign Carlos Hyde to a pretty massive deal, and that
right.
took them out of the conversation with number one, which never should have happened with Saquon Barkley. But he also, you know, had success with Spencer Ware, and Spencer Ware was a guy he picked off of the Seahawks practice squad, I believe. In fact, I believe at number four that they would select someone like Bradley Chubb if he's on the board, if he doesn't go at number two. But at number four, they have an ideal spot to trade out.
Right.
An ideal spot to trade out of, you know, if the Broncos want to move up.
Arizona wants to break the bank.
And the Bills are so obsessed with needing a quarterback this year.
Right. Mm.
But how many teams want to move back to, what are they, at 12 and then 22? Like, just putting together my board, which is very different than the NFL's, there's a drop-off after 10 picks, you know? And I'm sure the NFL is very similar. So how many of them do want to draft or drop out of the top four picks to go to a pick number 12? I agree with you.
Last theory. We're pretty together on this one. Don't take a running back, even Saquon Barkley, in the first five picks, because the position itself doesn't equal that draft pick. Nothing against Saquon. He could be the greatest of the past 10 years, but because of the state of the NFL, he'll never be worthy of that pick. Not never, but unlikely to be worthy.
You might not agree with this, but it's true. The NFL cares more and values more second-year contract guards than they do second-year contract running backs or second contract running backs.
Right, because they're worn out.
Second contract running backs average at their best. I mean, you see Jerick McKinnon, Devontae Freeman, 8.5, $8 million, $7.5 million. We've seen guards break the bank at $10 million, $9 million, centers as well.
Backup quarterbacks are probably more money.
So, and that's teams speaking with their wallets, mm-hmm. right? So while Saquon Barkley, again, in his first 5 years might really help you as a franchise, and I'm kind of over this, you know, 10-year starter at X position, yada, yada. The NFL cares more and values more offensive linemen. And I think if you have a good offensive line, it creates running room and
sure.
success for any running back as well. So I agree.
Okay. Paul and I like to sound really smart.
And so. Leonard Fournette was a bad pick, by the way, at number four.
That's right.
By the way, I've been saving this here. I haven't even told Paul yet, and I don't want anyone to steal this out there.
Red hot.
The helmet rule, if they call it at all, is going to change the running game. We're going to go back to Christian Okoye and Eric Dickerson and running backs running with their backs up straight. Because the only way to stop running backs these days is to dive your helmet at them. If they call, I really believe.
So wait, are you saying they're going to call running backs for lowering their
backs? No. People are going to have to arm tackle again, and it's going to really help the running game. I think big, strong running backs, Derrick Henry, is going to have a field day. If they start calling, if you watch now, the only way to tackle these giant guys is to dive your head at them.
Right.
If they start calling that, I think we're going to see a resurgence of the big power running back.
Have you ever seen the Seahawks video on rugby tackling?
Yeah.
They put it out there and how you want to like dive and wrap up and kind of spin and stuff like that. But the NFL doesn't do that. I mean, you can't do that at full speed.
I pulled a Christian Okoye video the other day.
Nice.
They're all trying to tackle his upper body.
When did he play?
89, I think.
Okay, I was born in 88.
Yeah, they were all trying
you
to
too,
tackle.
You too.
They're all trying. But actually, okay, don't even, no one steal that theory. I'm developing itself. Okay, we need a late round quarterback to really rally around.
Saucy.
So I've been all over the place. I was a Kurt Benkert guy. I need like a dark horse, but now I'm thinking Mike White. Is he dark horse enough?
Yeah, I mean, look, once we get to the second or third tier of quarterbacks, we have no idea where they land. Like, you remember every year when we get to these drafts, it's like, well, Davis Webb could wind up in the first round. Nathan
yes.
Peterman could go in the second round.
There was Ryan Nassib.
Yeah, there was a Garrett Gilbert resurgence one year that
yes.
like, he could be a third or a fifth round pick, then he goes in like the seventh round. Again, once we get to these quarterbacks that aren't ranked among the top guys, they could land anywhere from round three, like a Sean Mannion. Which is bananas.
He's a good guy, by the way.
Good friend.
Leisureman associate.
Oh, is he?
Oh, he's our
buddy. Sorry, I will stop talking there.
He's a fantastic second string quarterback. Not at his job, but being friends with us.
Got it. And I also hear that like the reason they draft him is because he's like a coach on the field. Like he mm-hmm. certainly Ooh. Knows where every single player is supposed to be. And anyways. But then when you get to round seven, who knows, right? So to say second tier quarterback, Mike White absolutely qualifies.
Well, I saw third, fourth round for him. Is that second tier?
Yeah, because most likely when you get to round three and round four, he could absolutely still be there.
But is there one that you
six.
One that you no. love that could break out? Anybody jumping at you this year?
No, I'm. I mean, if you want to go super deep, there's someone named Chase Litton out of Marshall who
Saucy.
Declared like a year earlier than probably some expected to. When you look at like isolated throws, and you could say this about any quarterback, like you could say this like Zach Dyson.
That's right, you're on the record in case he ever breaks out.
But Chase Litton has some big time throws out there. And I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
And even with these third quarterbacks, though, because, like, look, when you're drafting a guy in round five, round six, round seven, he's your third quarterback. How many teams actually carry third quarterbacks and on their practice squad?
That's how I fell in love with Tyler Bray, the former Tennessee quarterback. He could put together eight throws for a YouTube highlight that made him look like the
Ryan Lindley was like that as well.
Oh, yeah.
My guy was Dan LeFever at Central Michigan. Guy can run. He can pass. He's got moxie.
Talk about parents. Apparently, he had some overbearing parents as well.
Oh, French-Canadian, I heard.
There we go.
That's trouble. Hey, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
Honestly, couldn't you do this for about 4 hours?
Oh, I know.
I know you do it all day.
We're talking chili and NFL draft. You have to understand, this is what
Brunswick
guys—
Brunswick stew.
Oh, sorry.
We're going to get some.
Brunswick stew.
Yeah. I've learned
Continue
a lot.
Us.
I won't remember a thing about the draft, but the Brunswick stew is going to stick with me.
Thanks for coming in. That's Josh Norris of NBC Sports. Follow him at Twitter. He's got a really good follow. A lot of football, a lot of snark. Maybe a little barbecue. See you, bud.
See ya.
That was a lot of fun. Oh, I could do that all day. By the way, one of my favorite things about the NFL draft is when they start the sixth and seventh round and they show Brady being drafted to make you keep caring as if there's going to be a Tom Brady draft in the sixth or seventh round. It's a tradition like none other.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and by the way, can you name another sixth-round quarterback that's made any impact?
No. All right, let's get to some college basketball because we kind of got into turkey and barbecue and football. Villanova has won again. I've been wondering, you know, Villanova has, and the one thing that stood out to me about Villanova basketball, they look like grown men playing out there. They didn't look like skinny high school kids who were at prom 8 months or 6 months
earlier. Like Kentucky did this year. Kentucky was so skinny. I know exactly what you mean.
Even Marvin Bagley, who looks like grown man-ish, can you imagine what 20 pounds would do to Marvin Bagley and he was a junior? He would tear up college basketball more than he tore it up this year.
Oh, he'd be an all-time player.
Do you think schools like Duke and Kentucky will ever switch courses.
Give up on one and done.
Give up on one and done's and get guys who'll stay there longer.
It's a great question. That you watch Villanova, that's clearly the formula for success.
But how do you
be good, but not that good?
Right. But the problem is, like, Duke and Kentucky and Kansas, they have these top 10 high school players, top 20. What are they going to say no to them?
Well, it's interesting. So you look at it's been reported a lot. Duke is the favorite next year. They have Zion Williamson. They have the number one recruit. Number two, I think, is Cam Reddish, and then a third recruit.
So probably
they're 1, 2, and 3, and 10.
Four of their top six players next year will probably be brand new.
Right, because they're probably going to lose 4 or 5 first rounders this year.
Right,
I assume no one's
and Grayson
stay.
Allen.
Yeah, I think Grayson Allen could sneak in the end of the first round.
So
the shooting
Duke's kind of a crazy talented, also crazy inexperienced team next year.
Just like this year. I mean, this year they had Gary Trent Jr. Can you believe that Gary Trent already has a junior that's in the pro?
Yeah.
So I think you're right, Paul. I think the mid, you got to have talent, but not too much talent because it's all experience. Look at the Final Four. There were no NBA players of that year. There was 2 or 3. There was Mo Wagner. There was Mikal Bridges. I think Dante DiVincenzo and Jalen Brunson. That's the only, and then Omari Spellman, but he's young.
It's so bad because, I would like seeing these guys come back year after year. Like, I knew DiVincenzo was a little bit.
Yeah, you want it like the old days.
I do, and it's just, I would love to see the Villanova team back next year, and quite a few of them will be.
DiVincenzo could come back. He could test the waters and come back. Yeah, but the thing is about, are you going to be into it like Patrick Ewing? You know, you need a Marvin Bagley, a transcendent superstar. These Villanova players are nice, but they're not really going to get you back in the sport next
I guess
year.
The point is, on a Tuesday night when there's a game like Michigan versus Indiana, and I have to learn all the players on the fly, that's not fun. But if you tell me Mo Wagner is facing Marvin Bagley on a Tuesday night in Duke versus Michigan, I'm like, oh, I could tune into that. I got 2 hours to kill. There's no reason to make an appointment because it's hard work following college basketball in the regular season.
Is that funny? Because you say that like it's so out of reach to have a Mo Wagner against Marvin Bagley. 20 years ago, we had that all the time. We had Derek Coleman going up against, I don't know, Glenn Robinson or
right.
something.
But I remember I liked Georgia Tech a lot. And I remember it was only two years, but Georgia Tech probably played Duke 5 or 6 times in a 2-year span, including the ACC tournament. And so you had Kenny Anderson versus Bobby Hurley. Kenny Anderson was an unbelievable player out of Queens, New York. And Bobby Hurley, of course, out of New Jersey. And I can remember being in college, putting on the TV, going, oh, this is awesome. Another battle between Bobby Hurley and Kenny Anderson. And people took sides because Georgia Tech was cool. Lethal Weapon 3, Brian Oliver, Dennis Scott. And you got to know them. And you looked forward to those rematches, those second, because they all play twice a year in conference.
That's how I became the world's biggest Rodney Rogers fan.
Yes, Wake
Forest. Former Wake Forest star, because he beat Duke. It was amazing. Nothing like that anymore.
Yeah, and I guess the only thing that would change it is a go right to college, or go right to the pros, and a two-and-done rule will give you a little bit of that. There was a player who was the 9th-ranked player in the country. He was going to go to Syracuse. Don't even remember his name because it was earlier this week.
Yeah.
And he's going to the G League. We are never going to see this young man play basketball. I'm not going to watch a G League game, either of you, and none of you listening will either.
We'll see him in 2 years in the NBA.
Yes,
right.
But we won't see his first year at Syracuse at all.
Right.
That's dangerous.
Now, by the way, a side topic, Marvin Bagley, to me, I'm not going to break down the NBA draft, but what I saw this year, like, you're telling me DeAndre Ayton's going to go ahead of that guy? Marvin Bagley looked like Chris Bosh 5 years into his career.
You and I could not... In sync, brother. I think Marvin Bagley
Oh, my gosh. And Michael Porter Jr., who played like 2 games, I understand the appeal. But I'm seeing mocks where Bagley's like 5th behind that guy, Luka Doncic, the European player. But how can that Marvin Bagley be the 5th best player in the league?
Look at Jason Tatum of Duke last year.
Yeah, well, how did he fall below
He's
Markel Fultz?
He's a grown man, and they took Markel Fultz, who barely played and is skinny as a wisp, over him.
And Lonzo Ball went over him, too. Yeah, there's something NBA teams might be overthinking it a bit.
Maybe it's you think that what more this player can do than what he can actually do. Like, Jason Tatum may not be a 30-point-a-game guy,
right.
But I'm guessing he's going to be 22-9-5 in
right
there.
Years. They probably saw a ceiling there. But Marvin Bagley is nothing. I mean, he's 7 feet tall and runs ridiculous.
I'll bet a week's pay right now Marvin Bagley's rookie there in the NBA next year without even knowing where he goes. I would bet that again, and I'll take against the field because I think his game is that advanced.
Yeah, I would take that. By the way,
you want half of that bet?
I'm on your side though, so I can't really.
You'll back me. You just won't chip
I'll
in.
I'll back you. Yeah. By the way, huge NBA rookie of the year. We haven't gotten in the NBA. Have you checked out Donovan Mitchell at Utah?
It's
where did this dude come from?
He also looks like he's been playing in the pros for about 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. He looks like a 6-year veteran. Remember him in the All-Star game 3 years?
He's kind of thack.
So you realize him and Ben Simmons is breaking like every rookie record. They're going to battle. There's no way Ben Simmons isn't good enough to be NBA Rookie of the Year, and he might not win it.
Ben Simmons shouldn't be eligible, though.
Oh, why not? He's a rookie.
His rookie year is over. He didn't participate.
Why? First of all, he's still 20 years old.
Let's say you went to college at Dartmouth and your freshman year was over, and then your second year was there, but you were still taking freshman courses just because you had to get them on. Would you consider yourself a freshman? Your year's over.
Well, what if he had gone back to college and then come back?
Yeah, that'd be completely different.
How is that different? He didn't play. He still didn't play.
He was getting paid to play basketball for the Sixers, right?
That's his sure. He was getting paid to not play basketball.
To not play.
Man, that freshman example was pretty good, Paul. I got to give you that.
Not bad. Last thing, LeBron versus Nick Saban, the gift from the sports radio gods. LeBron James is upset. He has a show called Shot the Shop or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's on his undisputed, undefeated.
Uninterrupted. Yeah.
Sorry, there's about 9 shows with the same name. He's salty that Nick Saban in Alabama has a show called The Shop or something offshoot of that, where Saban and former players chop it up in a barbershop. Did LeBron and his people know what kind of blowback they were going to get on this? Because people are jabbing LeBron, saying, LeBron, you and your people did not invent the concept of sitting around in a barbershop talking sports. It's been done 1,000 times before. I think I remember Scoop Jackson doing it on ESPN.com like 11 years ago, by the way.
I mean, if he had any defense, it went away with the fact that there were multiple movies called Barbershop. It is really one of the silliest things. And I like to side with LeBron. I think he's cool.
I heard Clay Travis. I was driving today, and Clay Travis was saying it. I was like, this got to be a joke, right? LeBron's people aren't really going to do a cease and desist letter to Bama.
Did you see Nick Saban's response? Was sneaky Saban snarky?
Oh, yeah. He goes, we're not stopping.
Yeah, he's like, I didn't know that they own that genre. Like, even Nick Saban has seen the movie Barbershop and seen Coming to America.
Or maybe he's been to a barbershop, because all you do in a barbershop is sit in those waiting things, look at Sports Illustrated. That's how I grew up. I still go to barbershops. And you know what my barber does every time while I'm there? Because I have 3 Italian barbers. They love sports. They watch a lot of soccer. And as soon as I sit down, they bend my ear about sports because they want to, because they think I'm a sports guy because of what I do. And I sit there talking sports with my barbers for 45 minutes.
But do you have that really cool like vibe like Coming to America where there's like four? Well, at least you're doing it with your barbers. So that's different. But that's not quite the same as the 4 guys from the neighborhood.
It's pretty close because my barbers are characters. One of them's bald. Mm. The other one has a mullet, and the other one has a hairpiece. So I have very interesting barbers from a hair standpoint.
Yeah, but I don't think that's the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
Because we had Tony Dutt. I hate to say it, because you actually did something on Dan Patrick's show today where you compared it to Hoosiers where they're sitting in the barbershop. Tony Dungy explained on the show that this is an African-American thing. He said, this is a part of, he explained, we used to go.
Spending the day at the barbershop.
Spending a long time at the barbershop. So I don't know. I'm not saying, but he said it. And the movie Barbershop,
I think it's a small town thing. I don't think it's an African-American thing.
Okay.
I think small town America, you go to the barbershop and you sit. I remember when I went to my little barbershop in Glenwood, Illinois, there was Ralph the Barber. And there used to be these old guys, and I would go in there at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, and they'd always let me go first, and even though they were there first, because they wanted to sit around and chew the fat, as they say in the barbershop. So I don't think it's at all an African-American thing. I think it's a small-town, regular, local, one-man barbershop thing.
All right, I'm not going to argue with you. I did see the movie Barbershop, though, so I am partly an expert on this.
I would like to see it, but I saw 3. I haven't seen 1 and 2.
Yeah. Oh, well, you probably didn't understand a
totally
word.
Totally lost. Completely lost. Hey, thanks for listening to the Leisureman Podcast. Download it on Art19 and Apple Podcasts. And don't forget, Sunday nights, Pearl, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, the live Leisureman radio show extravaganza. This week, what are we doing? The draft preview party. What are we doing? Kickoff of the MLB season, which you don't kick off. You throw out the first pitch.
Let's see. April 15th. There's no tour.
Masters wrap-up show.
Masters wrap-up show.
Starring the Leisureman. Mike Tirico, I'm sure, will be not calling in. David Faraday's not calling into that show. Many more.
Yeah, let's see who else. Gary McCord.
Not calling in. Tiger Woods definitely not calling in.
Yeah, how about Phil?
Phil definitely not calling in, but not as much definitely as Tiger.
Yes. Ian Poulter, no.
Do you think if we had Tiger on the Leisureman, people would believe it's him or they'd think it's an impersonator?
They would accurately believe it's an impersonator.
Thanks for listening to the show. Take care.